Well, we are continuing our journey around the Sea of Galilee, and we've come in this late afternoon to a special place, Tabqa. It's called the Primacy of Peter, but some of us do not hold that. We have a lot of disagreement about this place. One thing we know is this is where the disciples often gathered together. The springs are right out in front of this, where fishing boats often would gather and go out from here. When the Lord said, I'll meet you again in Galilee, probably here. But the disagreements of this particular place are quite outstanding. I'm going to read to you from John 21, where I believe we have the background of this story. However, I want you to know that at Caesarea Philippi, that we will see tomorrow afternoon, is where Yeshua said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And it was there that Yeshua said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. So the traditional juggling of past religious belief has taken the wrong location and put it here and called it the Primacy of Peter. The idea is that Peter was selected to be the first pope here. I don't believe that. As a matter of fact, the first pastor was James, not Peter. It was at Jerusalem and not Rome. And I will talk to you about the Matthew passage when we get to Caesarea Philippi. But here at Tabqa, we have the following discussion in John 21. After these things, Yeshua showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, or twin, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, who were James and John, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. Now they just experienced the resurrection of the Lord from the dead, and he's going to go fish. Apparently he was a leader, because the Bible says they said unto him, well, we're going to go with you. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus or Yeshua. Then Yeshua saith unto them, children, have you any meat? Have you any food? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, well, cast a net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, John, the one who wrote the book, said unto Peter, it's the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, that means down to his robe, not stark naked. And he cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Sounds like lunch that we had. Yeshua saith unto them, bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up. Now here's where we learned about the big fisherman. You've heard that? Here's where it comes from. He drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. The fishermen around this sea say that he had to have enormous power in his shoulders and arms in order to have pulled that net with 153 fish in it to shore. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Another interesting fact. Yeshua saith unto them, "Well, come and dine." And none of the disciples durst ask him, "Who art thou?" knowing it was the Lord. Yeshua then cometh, taketh bread, giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Yeshua showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Yeshua saith to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." He saith to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." He saith unto him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when you were young, you gird yourself and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, "Follow me." Literally, "You follow me." Then Peter, I love this, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, "Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" Jesus saith unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not die. Yet Yeshua said not unto him, "He shall not die," but, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee?" This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Yeshua did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Five simple things. The importance of his appearances. The Bible spends some time detailing this out for us. And there are three things I'd like to tell you about that, because this passage began with it. It said he showed himself again. Why the post-resurrection appearances? One was to prove that he was alive, of course. What that must have meant to those men, I would have loved to have been there. Secondly, according to Acts 1:3, it was to proclaim to them the message about the kingdom of God. So he spoke about it for 40 days, teaching them about the kingdom of God. And three was to prepare them for the ministry that they would have. "John truly baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from hence. And when the Holy Spirit will come upon you, you shall be my witnesses, witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, he ascended into heaven. By the way, he went up slow. Did you know that? He didn't go fast, like, "Woo, he's gone." No. It said, while they stood gazing steadfastly into heaven. It's our English word theater, and it's used grammatically in the sense of watching him slowly go up. Can't you just see this? Peter turning to John say, "Hey, I can still see his feet. Can you see him? He's going into that cloud now." And two guys show up. Doesn't say angels. Says two men in white apparel. I think it's the same two guys that keep showing up all the time. Moses and Elijah. You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. The second thing was their inability to catch fish. Now that's strange. These guys know this lake backwards and forwards. They clock nothing. All a part of the plan of God. Guess who controls fish? Third, the instruction of Yeshua here in verses 6 to 11 involves at least three things. One, it involves faith in what he says we should do, even though you think it should be done in another way. You're an experienced fisherman. You've worked this lake over and over again. You know where the fish are. You've caught nothing. And Yeshua said, oh, well, just throw it on the right side.
I did it already.
Can you imagine? Yeah. Guys talking to one another. You got to be kidding. What did he say? How could that be? We've been here all night. We haven't caught anything. And he says, throw it on the right side. You got to be kidding me. But they did. All Yeshua had to do is just whistle for the fish. And there they came, right into that net. Do you have that kind of faith? Faith in what he says we should do. Secondly, involves finding what you've been seeking. And third, it involves, most importantly, fellowship with him. Come and dine. Come on over here. Let's have breakfast. He already had it prepared. I'm sure as they walked up, Peter turned to John and said, where did he get that food? But of course, all of us are interested in the invitation of Yeshua, the insight he gave here about love. And I'm going to close my Bible because it's just getting blown to pieces here. Peter changed the word. He did not use the word that Jesus used. When Jesus asked him, do you love me more than these? We have a choice, folks. He's either talking about the fish. Do you love me more than fish? It's a possibility. But I think the more proper interpretation is, do you love me more than these men do? Because that's what you said. But you denied me three times. Can you imagine that, having the Lord confront you with that? When he used the word love, he used the Greek word that is so misunderstood, and I'm not sure I've got a hold of it. It's the most frequently used verb in the Greek language, agapao, and yet I hear preachers on the radio saying, it's unique to the Bible. No, it's not. There was a project done by the University of California at Irvine, along with Princeton Seminary, in which they have put on a laser disc all that they know in history about the Greek language. It's an incredible project. I was invited, along with some other guys, seminary teachers and professors, to see this program. The guy who was doing it for us, the programmer, was not a believer. And he invited us all to ask any question about any word in Greek that we would like to see on this program. So I brought up the word love. He said, which one? I said, agapao. He turned around to me and said, are you sure? I said, why? He said, well, it's the most frequently used verb in the Bible, but it's also the most frequently word in the Greek language. Well, I had heard all my life by seminary teachers who didn't know any better that word was unique to the Bible and not used anywhere else. It blew my mind that day. First of all, it took three reams of paper, 500 sheets each, to just record single space all the usages throughout history of the word that Jesus used, do you love me? So it wasn't unfamiliar. That's the first thing set in your mind. They had heard that word many times. I've also heard preachers say, well, that only refers to people, loving people. No, it doesn't. There were thousands of usages. I love my chariot. I love my house. I love my tree. I love my cat. I love my dog. Man, that really upset me. I thought this was very unique word. And I asked the programmer, I said, what in the world would be the true meaning of this word, agape or agapao? His answer stuck with me all these years. He's not a Christian. He's studying the Greek language. He's knowledgeable, teaches in Greek. But he said to me, well, it seems to be some sort of concern for the well-being of something or someone else besides yourself. Ooh. That was it. We do know that the Bible says agape comes from God. It even says God is agape. God is love. 1 John 4:8. So I began to think about this a little more deeply. Concern for something or someone else without thought of personal gain. I could hardly think of anything. And all of a sudden, the Bible began to open up. That's why Peter, who would have known this word, since it's the most frequently used verb, he would have known it, but he deliberately changed the word. And when he answered him back, he used the word phileo, also used a lot, like the city of Philadelphia, brotherly love. It is the word for a friend. So what, put it in English, Jesus said, do you love me more than these men do? That's what you said. Now, Lord, you know I'm very fond of you. We're friends. So Jesus just waited. He asked him again, Simon, this time he drops some more than these and says, do you really love me? Lord, come on. You know I'm fond of you. We're friends. And Yeshua asked him the third time, only this time he said, are you really a friend to me? Bible says Peter was ticked, my translation, but it's the meaning of the word. He is really upset. Why? Why do you think Jesus did it three times? Because he had denied, exactly right, the Lord three times. Peter is wiped out. Then, like all of us, trying to rationalize his way out of it, says to John, what's going to happen to everybody? My translation, but you can read it. Well, don't worry about it. Jesus said, just follow me. Well, pointing to John, his friend. What about this guy? Don't worry about him. You just follow me. Oh, and by the way, I should probably tell you now, Peter, before you lose sight of what I'm trying to get at. But you think you have been able to take care of your life, even like a little boy who puts his clothes on every day and ties his little sandals. You think you're in charge of your life? Well, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you. They're going to take you where you don't want to go. And they're going to kill you in a way you don't want to be killed. Wow. Do you know that history, very authentic history and tradition, says that Peter not only was crucified, but he was crucified upside down because he didn't want to be crucified like his Lord. He didn't deserve it. Something happened to break his heart. It was right here. Do you love me, Peter? Do you? I wonder if the Lord was here and he looked at you in your eyes. Every one of you took the time individually and looked at you and said, do you really love me? I don't think any of us would be too quick. I think we almost shudder thinking about how penetrating his look is into our hearts. You can't fool the Lord. He knows everything. Do you love me? I can't think of anything better to leave us with from this site than the words of our Lord looking straight into our eyes. Do you really love me? Are you willing to follow me? Do you know what that may mean? Peter's case, it meant a lot of suffering. No wonder he wrote 1 Peter, 5 chapters on suffering. I don't know, I like being here, just to think about it. Let's pray. Father, we just reading this story know that all of us wouldn't have been any different. It would have been tough to hear you say directly into our face, do you really love me more than these others do? Do you really love me? Lord, we want to be your friend. We know that Abraham was a friend of God. But you want more of us. You want us to love you without any thought of personal gain. Not loving you because of how you might bless us, but to love you because of who you are and what you have done for us. You bore our sins in your own body on the tree. You promise that because you live, we will live also forever with you. You've given us eternal life and we will never perish. How can we do anything else except say, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Two things before you take off. One, let's just all, in a moment, walk into that church if it's open. It's another one of those singing churches. And just sing a couple songs and listen to it reverberate. Secondly, I want to explain what's going to go on tonight. I have made arrangements to take you all out. You will not eat at the hotel. And it's one of the most marvelous places to eat you could possibly eat. It's right here in Tiberias. We will load the buses at 7. We're only about 5 minutes away. And this is out on a dock at a pier. It's called Dex. And they are wonderful people. We're going to have a great evening. You will hear music that will bless your soul. In fact, the evening will be rather spectacular. Now, for those of you who don't want to go, for each person who doesn't want to go, that's a big savings to me. But seriously, you will miss out on a special evening. The food is unbelievable. If there's one thing I've been thinking about all day when I shouldn't, is the onion loaf they have.
Oh, that stuff.
Salad, onion loaf, all kinds of stuff. And then when the meat comes, they come on swords and skewers. All kinds of meat imaginable. And the dessert? As a diabetic, I am going to suffer terribly tonight watching you all enjoy dessert. But anyway, that's tonight. An evening out with David. Okay?
Thank you.